Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Hello and welcome to episode 93 of The Best in the World with Richard Parr. This week I speak to Hayley Wickenheiser. Hayley's a four-time Olympic champion in ice hockey. And on this week's podcast, she talks about retiring from the sport at the start of 2017. The Canadian discusses her plans to go to medical school now, her businesses, and her position on the International Olympic Committee's Athletes Commission. The seven-time world champion reveals the greatest moments of her career, which players she was closest to, and what it was like playing in Europe. Hayley also talks about representing Canada at softball at the 2000 Sydney Olympics. A really fascinating chat with Hayley Wickenheiser. And guess what? It's coming up next on The Best in the World.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Hayley Wickenheiser, welcome to The Best in the World with Richard Parr, four-time Olympic champion in ice hockey, also a silver medalist. So great to have you on the programme. But of course, most recently, you retired from the sport. Is it going to be weird not going to Pyeongchang next year?
Yeah, thanks, Richard. I'm sure it'll be a little weird, but right now it feels like everything's fine, rolling along, life is planned. But I'm sure once the Olympic Games start and on the big stage, I'll probably miss it. I'll be in Pyeongchang as a part of the IOC and some other stuff that I'm doing. I just won't be on the ice.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you're doing with the IOC and also kind of what you've been up to since you retired in January.
Yeah, so I was elected in 2014 in the Sochi Olympics to the IOC Athletes Commission, which is voted on by all the athletes of the world at the Olympic Games. In the dining hall, there's always an election platform there, and athletes can choose athletes from around the world to represent them at the IOC level. And so really, my mandate is to make sure that we're always keeping the athletes front and center of the Olympic movement and fighting, you know, for the best possible games centered around the athletes, and keep making sure that, you know, we all know the Olympics is a big business, but that the reason that they exist is because of the athletes of the world. So that's really sort of my goal as being part of the IOC Athlete Commission, and you know, requires a lot of different meetings and traveling and commissions and things like that you sit on. Aside from that, I'm also going to be starting medical school here at some point, and that's sort of my life after hockey plan. But I also do a lot of different things in business, and I have a company called Wick Hockey, where we are currently working on international development of the game of hockey around the world. So we just were in China for 2 weeks, and we're looking at working with India, Ireland, Spain, countries like that to help to grow the game of ice hockey where it's not as popular. So just a few kind of concepts. And then my big entity is called WickFest, which is a hockey festival that's held here in Calgary in November of every year. And we're going into our eighth year next year. And we have 2,500 girls from ages 5 to 18 come from around the world and participate in a hockey tournament, but also kind of a professional development component where we have Olympic athletes from all different sports and presenters come and talk to the kids about what it takes not only to be a good hockey player, but a good athlete. So all that combined is kind of my life after sport.
Fantastic. That sounds so much fun. And it must be so inspiring for some of the kids to learn from great champions such as yourself. It must be great to give back like that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, we've run it now. This will be our eighth year, and we've been able to bring in some of the best minds from the NHL, players and management and coaches to, I had 7 Olympic medalists from Rio attend last year, wrestlers and speed skaters and swimmers and gymnasts. So, you know, I think one of the things we're seeing now is a lot of tendency towards sport specialization for kids where they do one sport year round. And it's something that I wasn't raised. I did tons of different sports growing up as a kid, and I really want to teach the parents and the kids that in order to be really good at one sport, you have to actually be a good athlete in probably many other sports as well. So that's kind of the concept of it. And as much as we care about the hockey on the ice, I care more about what happens off the ice, actually.
And of course, you were someone who played in the Olympics in softball as well, so you know all about that. And I'd like to talk a bit more about that in a moment, but just want to go back to the IOC Athletes Commission, and how much ambition do you have perhaps within the IOC? I mainly ask this because I read Sebastian Coe's book, and one of the first ever Athletes Commission featured him, who went on to be the head of the IAAF and the organizer for the London Olympics, as well as Thomas Bach, who's the current president. Is it something that you've been enjoying the last few years and want to do more with?
You know, it's a real learning curve. I always say when I go to IOC meetings, it's like getting a degree in international business, because you learn about how different cultures of the world operate and think and work in sport and business. For me, you know, I'll be honest, sometimes it's a little disheartening to be at that level of sport and see that there's not as much attention paid to the right things as I would like to see: anti-doping, athletes' needs, things like that. I think it's easy to criticize the Olympic movement because of the scandals and the big business and the money. But I will say that they are doing some tremendous things when it comes to solidarity and funding and giving back to sport around the world. I guess that's what my job is as an athlete, is to sort of be in there and stay pure and keep, you know, the right things at the top of mind for people that are involved in the movement. So I'm not sure if I'm a great politician. I tend to just say it as it is. And but I've enjoyed, you know, my work. And I think the key is, when you're involved in something like this, is to find the areas that you think you can make a difference in and really push in those areas. So with my background being medical background, you know, the medical commission, I'm interested in, you know, where we're going with doping and doing a better job with that in the future, and the health of athletes. So if I can help with that and wherever that may take me, then so be it.
Yeah, I think you probably need a PhD in international relations at times. And of course, you mentioned there about going into medicine. What type of medicine would you like to go into? Because I've got to hear that you recently got a master's as well.
Yeah, so I did. You know, throughout my career, my parents were both teachers, and they always said, you know, you still got to get an education even though you're an athlete. So I whittled away at my bachelor's of science in kinesiology, and then I did a master of medical science. And when I start medical school, I'm leaning towards emergency trauma medicine right now. It's probably, you know, fits with life of an athlete, being that it's lots of action and it's never the same thing twice. And you're working within a team under high pressure situations. So that appeals to me. But, you know, I may change my mind. I'm not sure at this point. It's pretty early on in the process.
Yeah, very adrenaline filled job, it sounds like, that you might be going into.
Yeah.
Let's have a talk about your career then. And you've had so many great successes, winning world titles, Olympic titles. Is there one moment which really stands out the most for you?
There's not really one. I get that question quite often. I like to say there's probably 3 key moments that really stand out. So the first would be in 2002 in Salt Lake, when we won the gold medal. We played half the game shorthanded in the penalty box, which is really unheard of in the game of hockey, and had to overcome a lot to win that gold medal. It was probably the sweetest victory I've ever been a part of. Winning in Vancouver, in your home country, not many athletes get a chance to go to an Olympics in their home country. So that was pretty cool to be a part of that, and to win a gold medal in Canada. And then in Sochi in 2014, when we won the gold medal. We were down 2-0 with 10 minutes to go in the game and sort of had, I think, what many would agree with as the most epic comeback in Olympic hockey history, male or female. And, you know, there were a lot of opportunities for us to lose that game, and it didn't happen. So sometimes you think that the hockey gods were with you. And that was one of those games where we came back to win. So those three really are sort of the pinnacle, I guess, of my Olympic career. But I've had so many cool moments just as an athlete, you know, playing softball in the Summer Olympics. And really, I think what you remember when you look back on your career as an athlete is, I don't, you know, remember the little things along the way, the teammates and the places you went and the hard training that you did. And that's kind of what I miss as an athlete now, is the grind of the day to day and what had to go into being able to achieve those moments.
Mm. It's interesting you said about 2002. I recently also spoke to one of your teammates, Kim St. Pierre, and she was talking about that 2002 final where it was a pretty hostile atmosphere of everyone chanting USA, USA, USA. Now, her way of dealing with it was internally just saying to herself, Canada, Canada, Canada. Was there anything like that that you did then, or you did in other games where you needed to shut off what was going on from the crowd or any external influences?
Yeah, I mean, I think every athlete has their own coping mechanisms. What I tended to do was, going into the Olympics, I kind of went into an Olympic bubble, and I would tell my family, like, you're not going to probably see or hear too much of me for 2 or 3 weeks here, and my family really understood that's what I needed to do and just sort of shut out the world. And to be honest, when I step on the ice in big games like that, I don't even notice the crowd. There's often times when you let the crowd in, when you need the energy and the crowd's on your side, then you kind of open up to embrace that energy that's in the stadium or look around and take in maybe some fans that are going crazy or those types of things. But on the flip side, I was pretty good at blocking it all out. And, you know, even to regurgitate some of the games, I can't even remember half of what happened in a lot of those games because you're just sort of completely immersed in the moment. And for me, that was always the best way to perform.
You said how you miss the moments with certain teammates and things like that. Who were you closest to during your long career?
Yeah, I played with so many players over 23 years, I guess. In the last few years of my career, you know, in the last few Olympic games, my line mates of Natalie Spooner and Megan Augusta, we were very close. And Shannon Zabados, who's the starting goalie for Canada now, those types of players were sort of the players that I hung around with both on and off the ice and spent a lot of time with socially as well. But I think on every team you have your really tight-knit group of friends, and then you have your teammates, and then you have those players that, you know, when you're done playing, you don't really have much contact with. It's just sort of a natural thing when you're involved in a team. But for the most part, we've had some pretty close teams through the years and stay in touch at different events and things like that.
An amazing career over 23 years. At the end of that career, was there one bit of advice that you wish you'd given your younger self when you first started out in the sport?
Oh boy. That's a good question. I think there were times when I would have said to myself, you know, relax, take a break, rest, you know, rest is a weapon more than go, go, go all the time.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
But when you're young, you don't really know any different, and you learn as you get older that that's more important. I don't know if there's a lot of, I don't have any real regrets or anything, but maybe there were times when I would have liked to just sit back and maybe take a few more photos and take it all in, or you know, maybe see the places that I was in a little bit more of. You tend to go from the rink to the hotel and back to the rink again. And, you know, it's, you travel the world, but do you really get to see much of it, I guess, at times. So those types of things. But otherwise, I don't really have much advice. I would say just do it all over again.
To be fair with the photos, it's very easy now because we've all got camera phones. While even as far back as 10, 15 years ago, you're either using disposable cameras or you had to go to the get them developed and everything like that.
Yeah, it's far too easy to be connected today. So, which is also, I guess, a double-edged sword for athletes. I mean, I laugh when I look at Instagram or Twitter, and you know, everyone's kind of, not everyone, but a lot of athletes, you know, put their intel out there. And it's just so strange that it's kind of, we're in a world of sharing everything, which, you know, 20 years ago you would never have done. So it's changed a lot.
Do you think it's a good thing for an athlete to be doing then? What would you recommend a young hockey player? Would you tell them to share things and share lots of information? Or do they need to just be concentrating more on their sport? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's impossible to say you can, you know, you can't be online or you can't share anything. I think it's important for athletes to be, you know, accessible for the fans and for the people who support them and follow them. I think there's a fine line there. And when you enter into social media, you kind of agree to accept both the good and the bad that comes with that. And, you know, I've seen both sides of that in my social media through the years, depending on winning or losing or those types of things. And fans want to tell you how they feel. But, you know, I think that you have to do it, I think, tastefully and also preserve a little bit of, not secrecy, but privacy in what you're doing and how you're training and who may be paying attention to that. So I don't know if there's a rule book around that, but I think every athlete should be briefed on the pros and cons of social media when they start.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
I'll be back with Hayley in just a moment, but I want to take this moment to remind you about our Patreon page. Yes, at patreon.com/bestintheworld. That is where you have the opportunity to give back to our show. If you really enjoy what we do here, learning from the very best world and Olympic champions, then you can support our program by donating to us from as little as $1 a month. That will help keep the lights on. That will help us to continue to learn from the greatest sports stars on the planet. And we can give it to you every single week. All you got to do is go to patreon.com/bestintheworld. And if you decide you want to contribute more than $1, there are added benefits and rewards for you. All right, let's return to the conversation with the four-time Olympic champion in ice hockey. It's Hayley Wickenheiser.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Did you ever have a specific pre-game routine? Did you have any superstition, so to speak?
I say I never had any superstitions, but then I also say that I did everything the same before every game. maybe I did. I just had a routine that I followed, which was, I always warmed up off the ice, about 45 minutes before the game, and I would juggle and I would put my equipment on the same way each time. So if I got thrown off my plan, I wasn't rattled. So maybe that's why I don't call it a superstition, but I tended to have a routine that I like to follow. It gave me, it helped me relax, and it gave me great peace before I went out on the ice.
So let's talk about the softball for a little bit as well. How was that experience, and when did you kind of stop doing so much softball and started focusing more on the hockey? Or was there, because obviously you competed in 2000 and then and were in five Winter Olympics games for ice hockey. When did softball kind of start to take a back seat?
Well, I actually thought I would go to the Olympics in softball before hockey, just because it was in the Olympics in 96 prior to hockey in 98. So I remember watching the Atlanta Olympics in Canada and wanting to play on that team. And I was in the junior national team program, and growing up in a small town in Saskatchewan, a province in Canada, that's what we did. We played hockey in the winter and then we played ball in the summer. We didn't even touch our skates for 3 or 4 months. And so it was natural for me to go from the junior national team and then try out for the national team. And I was playing hockey on the national team at that time as well. So they allowed me to go to softball camps and to do both. So I would be at a hockey camp and I'd had my teammates take balls and hit me ground balls in the lobby of the rink. And I would pick up grounders and throw them in the lobby. And vice versa. When I was training for softball, I went to Simon Fraser University for a year in Vancouver. And I would play ball all morning, and then I would study for the courses I had to take, and then I would practice with the University of British Columbia men's hockey team at night. So I was able to do both, but my son was born in 2000, and just after those Olympics, then I was not able to continue to do both at the highest level, and I had to pick one over the other, and I chose hockey.
Yeah, that sounds like you've got a lot on your plate. Are you someone who always knows what's going on, or do you have like a little diary or planner, or do you do things online now? What's your time management like? Because that's a lot of stuff going on, you know?
Yeah, well, it's, the best thing now is I have a lot of people around me to help me with stuff. And, we've got two people who work full time on WIC Fest and WIC hockey stuff. And then for me, I manage it all, but I'm still a writer. I have an online calendar, but I actually write in it. I don't use iCalendar or anything like that. I guess I'm still old fashioned, but I'm pretty organized. I like to know what's going on and have a plan, and I'm a list maker. So maybe that keeps me on track.
So you said you had your son in 2000?
Yeah, he was born in 2000, yeah.
And obviously during that time as well, I saw that you were trying to play hockey and did play hockey in Finland and other places in Europe. How tricky was that, having a young son but also trying to play hockey in various different countries?
Yeah, it was really hard. At the time he was two when I first went over to play in Finland, and we were going back and forth. We had a nanny who would have 3-4 months in Finland, then bring him back to Canada for 1 month and then come back to Finland. So it was very hard, probably harder on me than it was on him because he was so small, but it was something that I felt I had a really short window of time to do and that I had to take advantage of the opportunity. So I would never have been able to do it without the support of my family. And like I said, having almost a full-time nanny that was able to travel the world too. So that made a big difference. And now Noah's 17 and going into grade 12. And to be honest, he doesn't even like hockey, probably because he was associated with mom and dad being gone all the time when he was young for hockey. So he's he's got other things he likes. But But we managed to do it. And like I said, I think if you're organized and you have a good team around you, anything's possible.
Oh, fantastic. And with this very busy schedule, and I know you said one of the things you'd have told yourself when you were younger was to perhaps relax a little bit more. When you do get a little bit of downtime, how do you like to relax?
Yeah, well, now I'm fortunate that I can just train for fun and do stuff when I want to do it. So I love road riding. I love cycling. I do a lot of riding all over the place and being in the mountains, being outdoors, playing tennis, stuff like that. Travel is a big part of my life still as well. So when I get to travel now, I make sure that I get to see stuff and take an extra day or two in places and really enjoy that part of it. So but probably the most enjoyable part now is that I have more time to spend with my son and, you know, him going into grade 12 as a parent, you realize that it goes fast and you don't have much time before they're gone again. So, that's what I most enjoy.
Oh, fantastic. Favorite place you've ever visited then?
Oh boy. For relaxing, probably Bora Bora. That was a fantastic, that's an amazing place to go. Yeah.
It's quite epic just to get there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite a haul from North America, that's for sure. But I love Europe, and I've spent many years around different parts of Europe. So really anywhere that's new is kind of a fun first place to go.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. Before you go, can you let us know where we can find out more about you and everything that you're up to, including your festival online, please?
Sure. So my website is my name, HayleyWickenheiser.com, and on there you can find everything you need to know about me and all the things that we're up to. And wickfest.com is our festival website. And then you can find me on Twitter at wick_22 or on Instagram at hchickwick and on Facebook as well. So that's where we are. And you can reach me via email on my website if anyone's looking to contact us for anything that we're doing. And otherwise, that's where we are.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for being on the show. Hayley Wickenheiser, thank you for being the best in the world.
All right. Thanks, Richard. It was awesome.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Wonderful to listen and learn from Hayley on this week's Best in the World with Richard Parr. If you are an ice hockey fan and you enjoyed that conversation with Hayley, maybe go back to the archives and listen to my previous interview with Kim St. Pierre, yes, a teammate of Hayley, the former goalie. That is on acast.com/best. It's at sportacino.com. Plus, it's also on iTunes. So please press the subscribe button and also give us a rating and review if you get a moment. That's whether you're listening to us on iTunes or even on Stitcher. Both of them, you can give us a rating and review, which would really help our program. Other good podcasts, which I think you should listen back to, my interview, well, in fact, the last interview with JCJ Anderson, the snowboarder. That was a wonderful interview. Also, Patricia Kuma, another snowboarder. That was a great interview. Graham Dott, really open and revealing conversation with Graham, where we go into a lot of details in particular about his depression. Go back and listen to those interviews. And if you've got any feedback, if you've got anything you'd like to ask me, then please send us a tweet at Richard_Parr. And if you do want to support our program, please go and check out that Patreon page. It's patreon.com/best in the world. All right, I'll be back with you next week speaking to another world champion, Olympic champion, world record holder, or world number one. Goodbye.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.